listening to KLYT. Welcome back to ABQ Connect with Jim Williams.
Welcome into ABQ Connect. Dr. KP Yohannan, the founder and president of GFA World, is on the phone with us this afternoon. Dr. Yohannan also serves as the Metropolitan Bishop of the Believers Church in South Asia. Dr. Yohannan, thank you for joining us today.
Well, thank you. What a privilege. I'm grateful for the opportunity.
KP, you have such a heart for people all over the world. I get the sense sometimes that when you're sitting in your living room and you're seeing tragic news, like as what is happening in Afghanistan, that your heart is just filled with grief. And at the same time, you know God's power to help in those situations. Tell us what reports you're getting from Afghanistan now.
Well, you know, Jim, we've been involved with Pakistan, Afghanistan for at least a dozen years, although we never went public about what we do and how we do things there, except that we have two radio broadcasts that's going into Afghanistan for at least a dozen years now. But only recently, it just hit me hard so much when the information, news you saw and I saw, everybody saw how Taliban, you know, again took over the country and what began to happen, and the hundreds of people trying to crawl in the aeroplane and then hanging onto the wings, and, you know, 150 people capacity aeroplane had 600 plus people. I mean, you know, but then, I mean, I saw that. I said, this is insane. And this is not just Afghanistan. This is going to be happening in Europe, in America, and in India. Every day news of the government of India arresting people because they found dozens of sleeping cells, Taliban and ISIS within the country of India. But what happened, I had some calls from people saying, what on earth is going on in Afghanistan? Are you doing anything? And I didn't want to talk about it because it was very confidential what we were doing there and security reasons. But then I decided to call two of our main leaders who are dealing with it there on the ground. And there's a two-hour conversation I had with one of them, senior missions leader there with us. And Jim, in the end, I just couldn't talk. I was paralyzed. And I was, you know, I wouldn't say guilt-ridden, but I was so feeling sad about my own lack of emotions and feelings about what was going on. And this leader talked about 50,000 people in Karachi, hotel buildings protected by 3,000 American soldiers, refugees who escaped from Afghanistan crisis, and then in the other part of Pakistan, hundreds of thousands of people living in open tents, and how Catholics and some other groups are bringing food and this and that, and the government of Pakistan not opposing it, only allowing them to do it, and our people are doing that. And then particularly he began to talk about a man weeping his eyes out, saying that they came and picked up my 14-year-old daughter. And when I tried to ask, they point a gun at my head, and we could do nothing. And this happened to so many families. Then, you know, hundreds of thousands of homes are vacant, empty, from Kabul and other place, people fleeing. I don't talk about Christians. These are Muslims. They're scared to death. And, I mean, the story after story now of the suffering of people living in these tents. And then India government is going to open their doors for more people coming into India. You know, the previous time it happened, and a lot of people were led to the Lord in Delhi, and some of them became our radio broadcasters into Kabul. But, you know, for me, answering your question, I actually had to repent, saying, Lord, how come I saw these things? It never gripped me what's happening. Because in heaven, there is no Americans or Afghanis or Germans or Indians or Nepalis. All people God created, and Jesus died for all people. And it is not that I'm not doing enough for the world, but then I prayed, Lord, please break my heart with the burden you have so I can pray, I can fast. not the work of the flesh or soulish energy, but, you know, and the Lord was gracious to give me the sense to, and I won't talk about my fasting life, this and that, but I said I need to take at least one day of the week to fast and pray for crisis going on in the world like Afghanistan, which is massive. And I can tell you something, I mean, I don't know anybody want to fight with me on that. I can predict, I'm not a charismatic or Pentecostal or prophet, but I'm telling you, if I can tell you something, that is going to happen. America, we are going to face Afghanistan unless something happened for the church to wake up and embrace values that made America great. And this is an imminent, dangerous situation. Europe, I mean, it is a matter of time. England is going to be a Muslim country, or France, or all that. India is scared to death. And this is not a joke. And we cannot say we are safe in this country. No, we know enough of that. And this Afghan crisis or Syria crisis, believe me or not, enough people are flooding into these free nations under the disguise of refugees. And this well planned. And I don't have all the proof, but I recommend people to pick up the book by Hank Hanegraaff, Muslim, maybe the most important book anyone to read, published by Thomas Nelson. And this is, I mean, I'm not saying we should be frightened to death about this, but God is in control. But we do have a moral responsibility, as C.S. Lewis said. We are in the enemy's territory, and we better be representing Christ. And they're killing right now Christians in Afghanistan. Anyone, I mean, like I say, oh, here is Jim, he's my neighbor. He became a Christian. That's all they need to hear. They don't ask you one question. They just kill you. This is happening right now.
Dr. Yohannan, I didn't realize this till our conversation right now. You're literally calling Afghanistan, the country is a theater of fear. But I didn't realize till right now that you have people that are Muslims and Christians both are afraid of the Taliban.
Absolutely. No, I didn't call directly to Afghanistan. We have leaders who are giving oversight to our work in those Muslim regions based in a couple of our neighboring countries. And we do have somebody in Pakistan. We don't disclose the identity, but they are in touch with. I mean, we have, as a matter of fact, workers now, without disclosing details, moving all they may have reached the Afghan border. Because we heard about tens of thousands on the border of Afghanistan and Pakistan stranded and starving to death, things like that. So the information I get is from people who are there, right there, guiding and helping and bringing relief to many of the people that are suffering. But the whole situation is, I myself didn't have full information about what all we were doing after this crisis started. I knew from the previous time, the Taliban taking over the first time, we were greatly involved with the refugees that came to India, mostly in Delhi region. So this, and then this thing about they are killing Christians it's a well-known fact. Christians are the worst enemies. And, you know, 18 million people in that country, it is said that maybe there are, you know, 7,000-8,000 Christians in the whole country. But now, one thing I'm hearing just in the last 48 hours, many Christians, not millions, but many who could have escaped Taliban and Afghanistan decided not to run, but to stay. Even they had to offer their life to be a witness for the Lord. It is just calculated. You know, this is what I talk about. When faith and culture becomes one, then no one can kill us because we are dead. This is what happening with the Orthodox Christians in some parts of the Muslim communities. You know, they don't back down. They say, how can you deny Christ? This is our very life. There's no sense in doing that. And they're killed. And so the Christians in Afghanistan, wherever they can locate them, their life is on the line. But I believe, now, this is not the end of the game. The darker the night, the brighter the day. I think all over the world, the Muslim world is, I'm convinced of human beings frightened and shocked by what's going on. And they are asking the question, where is this God that we've been believing, and what is it all about? And I think the vacuum and questioning created in the hearts of Muslim fundamentalists, especially people, this is going to, I mean, so many organizations are working, you know, internet and online and radio broadcast and all kinds. I think we are going to see a sea change in Afghanistan for God's glory and for His kingdom. That if we can pray and fast and do whatever we can, it is no more an objective information. It's very subjective. 9/11 is not a memory that is in the past. No, this is at our door, because that's what the Muslim world is all about, taking over anyone, everywhere, and the weapon they use is killing and bloodshed.
Dr. Yohannan, I just went to your website, gfa.org, and immediately there's a banner right underneath. As soon as you get to the website, it says, Pray for Afghanistan. So if you go to gfa.org and you click on Pray for Afghanistan, great details, the same details Dr. Yohannan is going over with us right now, are available on that website. Dr. Yohannan, I don't mean to say anything negative about Christians. I think that, you know, Christians are loving and so forth, but we have not, at least I have not, dealt with catastrophes around the world as you have. And so I get the sense that a five-minute prayer for the people of Afghanistan cannot hurt, but you're really challenging us to get on our knees, fast and pray and spend time petitioning the Lord about this event, because it is so desperate.
Well, you know, Jim, the truth of the matter is, ask the question, ask Christians, why Jesus, God Almighty, came to this earth? Was it for him to live a nice, wonderful life and become the king? No, he came to suffer and to die to redeem the world. And if that be the Christ we follow, you know, you have to forgive me for these statements maybe, and the audience, the Protestant evangelical world especially, I don't know what happened in the Western Church, but we have lost Christ of the New Testament, and therefore we don't feel nothing about what is going on in the world while Jesus weeps then and now, as Keith Green said. But here is the crazy thing about it. I've been all over the world, but I've never been to a country where people are so kind and generous and giving and compassionate as the people of America. Whether you're Christian or not, there is something about the American blood and the DNA that compassionate. Of course, we had to fight the war in Second World War and drop that bomb in Japan or Germany or whatever, but we'll go back and rebuild it. India was destitute and hopeless when, you know, Ford Foundation and people from the United States helped immensely to help. And this is the story of everywhere. Americans are the most amazing people that I can tell you. But the church, we need to understand, we are blessed more than anybody on earth, the most powerful, blessed nation in the whole world ever. And the church is the reason why America is America. But today we are losing it. Let me ask you the question, why can't our church's Sunday worship time take 10 minutes, 15 minutes to talk about what's happening in the world today? Like, you know, what's happening in Louisiana, the hurricane, or, you know, Burma right now. Oh my goodness, we can't even imagine how many thousands are to be killed by the army. This is insane. This is silly. These pastors stand before the court. I mean, you think we are lacking Bible teaching in America? It's stupid. We have more Bible teaching than anybody in the history of the world. Why this two-hour service in the church they conduct without taking 15 minutes to talk about what's happening and ask the congregation to kneel or pray 2x2 or 3x3, just cry out to God? Why can't we read Acts chapter 4 and see this is what they did? So the pastor, he is militant, just get through the singing thing so he can do his teaching. And he's been teaching now for years. What has that done to us? Our young people, almost 80% are leaving the church when they leave home. That is not my studies. Mm-hmm. What all this teaching is doing? They are not involved passionately to have the culture of Christianity because the pastors are only concerned about collecting money and building empires. I've been in it for long enough, but the people are kind. The pews, the people will do whatever prayer if only the leaders can guide them. The shepherd go wrong and the sheep wander. And so to come to the nut and bolts, very pragmatic, I would say, which I've been asking every pastor, every priest, every whatever elder, whatever, please, why don't you take 15 minutes every Sunday during your worship, teach less and talk about the world and how people actually pray. And you know what? God will answer our prayers even if we don't have any faith. Because we hear even the prayers of people like Cornelius, who was not a believer in the living God. God is merciful, but someone has to cry out to him. Ezekiel chapter 22, verse 30, God says, I look for one person to stand in the gap before me for the sake of the land, so that they will not be destroyed. But I found none. A local pastor, a priest, a minister can get 2,000 people to cry out to God if only they would take the job. Afghanistan is a killing field right now. People are innocent, people are dying. And we have the more responsibility to cry out to God. And if we do that, I think our people will look for organizations and means, Christian or non-Christian, to give help and assistance. I mean, GFA world, we are not the only people doing this thing. There are dozens of amazing organizations that are doing everything they can to help the poor and needy in these countries. Although they cannot talk much publicly about it, but they are doing it.
Yes. Well, you've mentioned several times that you're having to do some things covertly. Tell us about your compassion services and ways that you're helping people now.
Well, right now, you know, what we are doing, we have literally, no exaggeration, tens of thousands of our people in these 16 nations are involved day after day dealing with the coronavirus pandemic, especially people starving to death without food. And in India and through in Pakistan, through Bangladesh and Africa. And so number one thing we do is, first of all, provide food items for people who are starving. The horror stories of people starving for 2 weeks without any food. The lockdown caused it more than anything else. And the second thing along with that is basic help with the shelter or clothes, or especially children that are in trouble. So there are dozens of ways. Along with that, what our people do is that we train people to do whatever they can do in the midst of crisis to find some income, like we call it grow bags, that they can plant vegetables and provide the bag and the seed and all those things, so they can find a way to make a living without starving. And that's a long term answer, but that is also being done. But immediately, I mean, we must have spent, I don't know how many millions of dollars this last 16 months just to feeding the people that are hungry during this coronavirus season. And Afghanistan and these countries are now faced with massive amount of crisis, both the killing and the, you know, the shooting and kidnapping and raping, burning down, you know, people's dwellings, but the same time coronavirus. Think about Myanmar. I just talked this morning 2 hours with our leaders in Myanmar. the entire country, hospitals, everything shut down. People are dying on the streets without oxygen or any resolution, any hope. And so there's no end of things we are doing. I mean, like so many other groups are doing it, but our focus has one thing that is very significant. Whatever we do, we have one thing on our mind. How will this help people to know we do it because of the love of Christ? And Jesus died on the cross, buried, and he rose again. And he is ultimately the only hope. Because you are rich or poor, all will have to die. Mm-hmm. But there is something more serious. And that our workers carry everywhere. And it is resulting in massive amount of people turning to the Lord.
Yes. Dr. Yohanan, you've challenged us to spend 15 minutes during our worship service to do maybe less teaching and more talking about people in desperate situations around the world. South Asia, Afghanistan, Bangladesh is one community that you mentioned. I'm thinking as we're going through this that all of us might see what's going on in Afghanistan as this overwhelming problem. But if churches around the United States would heed your call, just a little bit of giving, just a little bit of prayer from each one of us would go a long way to solving problems for millions of people.
Oh, absolutely. Jim, you know, it is like many drops make a bucket, and many buckets make a pond and lake, and so, you know, people think, well, what I'm a nobody, I don't have anything to give. This no, so read God's word. You know, the church in Macedonia, when they heard about the poverty of people in Jerusalem, out of their poverty they gave. And here's the thing about, I was talking to a family, they said they spent hundreds and hundreds of dollars just on buying water bottles. You know, believe you me, the worst water we have in the tap in the United States is luxury for half of the world. Okay, buy a filter and connect it. And you want to better water, you can get it. But why you have to spend thousands of dollars by water? It's here. So we don't get into the reality of the world. And adapting our lives such a way that we don't starve and die without water, but we can share. Prayer is the same thing. Simple thing. If a church has an hour and a half worship, why can't 15 minutes be spent just praying? Because on the screen, they can put up all the prayer requests. You know, for example, this year, this time in all over the United States, how much information people need what happened in Louisiana? Mm-hmm. Or 1 million homes without electricity, and people weeping. And this Sunday should be 15 minutes in every church. They'll be talking about that, show pictures, online they can get these things, and say, let us pray, and have 5 prayer requests. And that's what we do, by the way. We're making 2 minutes of prayer requests, then say, let's hold hands together 2 by 2 and pray. And then we have another prayer request. My goodness, we do that sometime from 6 o'clock in the evening till 1 o'clock in the morning. Still, we don't get to one tenth of the prayer request we have just from that 1 week. Mm. And so this would be something Jim, if we can use this radio station and do something all over the United States for every church to make it a policy, we're going to have 10 minutes during the service only to talk about missions and pray for missions.
Yes, I love that idea. Tell us about GFA World and how our listeners can be praying for you and your leadership and the people that you have in the field. You've already mentioned there's literally tens of thousands of people you have working in the field all over the world.
Yeah, you know, the churches we planted over these 40 years, Jim, we have over 4 million baptized faithful members in all these countries, speaking hundreds of different languages, and like amazing. And when something happens, our people are trained immediately to reach out. Of course, now we have some 12,000 full-time workers in all these nations. And you know, like I said, my dream is to see at least 100,000 churches planted among people that never had a church or place of worship. I'm talking about big buildings. I mean, even a little hut where 20, 30 people can meet for worshiping the Lord and have Holy Communion. And then, you know, there are 60 million children on the streets in our world, begging and hurting. And this is reality in Africa or India and these countries. And my dream is, God, help us to pick up at least 500,000 children. We have now 70,000 children we rescued and helping them. But, you know, and again, I thank God for other organizations that are doing much bigger than us, and I'm so happy about that. But we have a focus that is, you know, no matter what we do, because of Jesus, and they need to know His name. And so the way people can understand this more, I beg them to go to our website, gfair.org, and tons of information for prayer and how they can help if they are led by the Lord to give finances or more information. And they can always ask for, we got so many books completely free for people to get, especially Revolution World Missions, which are over 4 million copies in print today. Somebody can ask for it. They will get a copy free without any obligation, which would be one of the most important book for people to read as to what's going on in the world and things to know, stories and prayer, and a desperate challenge for people to live authentic, you know, at this time.
Dr. Yohanan, in closing, I hear stories coming out of Afghanistan with Christian Afghan families that are literally telling their small children, there may come a knock upon the door, and if that happens, the next thing that you're going to see is Jesus in heaven. That has to be terrifying, but they also have just amazing faith to go through that.
This is literally true, by the way. That actually came out of people telling me how these families prepare their children and their, family members, knowing that they are going to be killed. And they talk the joy and the happiness of seeing Jesus and being in heaven. No more tears, no more sorrow, no more departure. And, you know, one story I heard, I just had to weep and weep. And I said, when the father said that, children said, Papa, if they kill you, can you tell them to kill us first? Because we don't want being a prison thought to you. Now, things like that, Jim, makes no more just information. It is real. And these radical Muslims, they're killers. They are hunting down Christians. And I feel sad because in Afghanistan, there are not very many Christians, but they are being killed as, you know, little lambs ending up in the pack of, you know, ravaging wolves. And this is where Hebrews 13 says that we in the free world like this should feel as though we are chained to their hand in prison and pray. And again, I've been a pastor of a local church for 4.5 years in the United States, and I can tell you, I wish so much I was different in caring for the lost world, leading my people. And this is where the shepherds need to wake up and become unselfish and guide our people to understand this.
Dr. Yohanan, I appreciate your leadership so much and your fervent prayers. And I want to remind our audience that for more information, they go to gfa.org. Click right on the Pray for Afghanistan button. There's also information about how to show compassion to widows and children, which is also on your heart all around the world. You've shared with us the devastating effects of COVID, and not really the devastating effects so much of the disease, but the starvation that is now prevalent around the world. So again, gfa.org is the place for our listeners to go. Dr. Yohanan, thank you for joining us today.
Thank you, Jim. I have blessings on you.
God bless you.
Thank you. Thank you. Bye-bye.
ABQ Connect is presented by Bosky Heating and Cooling, 505-444-7200. Bosky Heating and Cooling, locally grown, locally owned. ABQ Connect with Jim Williams is a production of KLYT. The views expressed on ABQ Connect do not necessarily reflect the views of staff or management at KLYT. If you missed any or part of today's show, the podcast can be found at